helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. How can you tell when a politician is lying? The answer generally is their lips are moving. Now, I've used this joke as an example not of the corruption of the political class, but of the American citizen who continues to hire liars, cheats, and thieves to represent them for years. But what happens when we become so conditioned to the lies that we not only accept them, but we reject the truth? In her book, The Crown of Life, Agnes Tremor makes a prescient statement. She writes, "If a lie is only printed often enough, it becomes a quasi-truth. And if such a truth is repeated often enough, it becomes an article of belief, a dogma, and men will die for it." Now, today, I see many people who are willing to die for a lie. Even worse, they seem prepared to kill for it. Lies about vaccines, lies about the Department of Justice and the IRS, even lies about your rights. And yet we routinely return to the politician who states, rather like the character Captain Renault in the movie Casablanca,
"Stop, stop, I find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much."
The same way we see the American people going, "I'm shocked to shock they're finding out there's lying going on here. Well, here's the proof of your lie. Oh, thank you very much." See, if we are to stop the lying in its tracks, it will not be the actions of an individual, but of we the people. Who in America will stand up for the truth, point out the lie, like the boy pointing out the emperor is naked? Who will stand in the gap to thwart the flow of this evil? Who will show the sentiment of Nathan Hale and proudly declare, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country"? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Today, we are talking about the lie. The lies told often enough that they've become true and fall into dogma to the point where people were not only willing to die for them, but even to kill for them. I mean, we've spent the last 3 years not only being lied to, but then we were proven that what we were told was a lie, and the people that lied to us are lying to us, saying they never said the lies that they said that we actually have recorded to prove the lie. And yet people are still standing up and defending the lie, the liar, and the lie about the liar. And they're willing to destroy other people to do so. And this is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen. This has been going on for quite some time. I remember when the controversies about vaccines in general started popping up, and certain, well, let's say inconvenient facts about the viruses started popping up. And again, how do we differentiate truth from lie? Well, the only way I know how to do that is to hear the arguments and see who has the better proof of their case. Another skill we seem to have lost in America. Well, take, for example, vaccine inventor Dr. Paul Offit. He helped to invent the rotavirus vaccine, and he co-authors a regular update on the vaccines in general. And he recently made the claim that, quote, "all vaccines are tested in placebo-controlled trials before licensure." Now, he wrote this on a Substack back on June 22nd, and he was dealing with statements from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for president. Now, Offit also said on Twitter that vaccines are tested in trials against immunologically inert controls, but he didn't actually provide any citations. There's a problem, though. There's evidence that Mr. Offit is lying. At best, what he's saying is untrue. At worst, it's a flat-out lie. See, there are multiple vaccines that are currently licensed in the United States that were never tested against placebos. Now, if you're not familiar with the process, the idea is you have two groups of people. One group of people take the vaccine being tested, or any drug or treatment that's being tested, and the other group gets what they think is the, it could be the drug, but it's not. It's just inert. It's usually, you know, saline or sugar or something. It's not. And you observe them. They don't know whether or not they got the actual vaccine or not. And you observe them and you record, well, any side effects, any improvements, any problems. And then you can make a statistical analysis to say, A, is this treatment safe? In other words, do the people who took the actual virus, do they not get sick worse than the control? Then is it effective? Do they get the desired outcome better, more than the control group, right? So in the case of a vaccine, do people have do they get sick? Do they get allergic reactions? All of this stuff. And then, well, do they get the disease less? Now, here's a problem. See, let's forget the quote unquote COVID vaccines, because they've not been licensed. They are still available under an emergency use authorization. There is one, I think it's Comirnaty branded from Pfizer that had been licensed by the FDA, but is not actually available in the United States. But let's go back a little ways to a product called Prevnar 13. It's designed to prevent pneumococcal disease. You may have heard of like pneumococcal pneumonia. Now, the FDA cited the trials when it licensed Prevnar 13 that the control groups either received an older version of the vaccine called Prevnar 7 or an influenza vaccine. Now, Prevnar 7 was approved and compared and being compared in trials and other vaccines already. So they were comparing, in this case, the control group was, well, you got the previous vaccine, we're testing the new vaccine. But you see, Offit said that all vaccines were tested in a placebo-controlled trial before licensure. Yeah, oops, that wasn't true in this case. He did eventually tell, and I'm reading an article from the Epoch Times, that he said, I hadn't remembered that one. Now, the reason it's important, again, the CDC defines a placebo as a substance or treatment that has no effect on living beings, usually uses a comparison to vaccine or medicines in clinical trials. So, again, we have this original statement, this example that, well, that's not entirely true, but is that happening today? Is modern vaccines, are they going through these trials? Well, the Department of Health and Human Services says no. This is not all vaccines licensed in the U.S. have been tested against a placebo. Quoting the department, inert placebo controls are not required to understand the safety profile of a new vaccine and are thus not required. In some cases, inclusion of a placebo group is considered unethical. Unethical? Well, as I understand it, it goes something like this. Let's say you have a really bad disease, not COVID, something where people are, lots and lots of people are dying. And I mean large percentages of dying. The idea that you have something that you're pretty sure works, but you're going to give somebody a placebo rather than the actual thing. Well, they could get sick and die from it. That, by the way, was the justification why they destroyed the placebo group, the control group, when they did the testing on COVID-19. I think it was on both was it the Pfizer or the Moderna mRNA vaccine? Now, why is this important? Well, it's important for a couple reasons. See, one, when I was a child, granted, that was many, many decades ago, I think the childhood vaccine schedule had like 8 vaccines on it. Now it's up around 65 or 70 or more. There's a lot of vaccines being given. Now, according to Robert Kennedy Jr., while he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, he said that vaccines are exempt from pre-licensing safety testing. He said they don't have to be tested, and they're not. He goes on to say that none of the current childhood vaccination schedule have ever been tested pre-licensing in a placebo-controlled trial. We're looking at a vaccinated versus unvaccinated kids and looking at health outcomes. You see what I mean by, if this is true, people that are willing to kill to support the lie? Now, according to Epoch Times, that there have been vaccines that were tested against placebo. They include COVID-19 vaccines, which are not legally vaccines, and Gardasil 9 against the human papillomavirus. But I've already seen reports that COVID-19 was not tested against a placebo group. The test was interrupted and destroyed before it was completed. So they started the test. They never actually finished the test. Now, if you want some good information, I suggest you go to the Informed Consent Action Network. See, back in 2018, that's right, before COVID, they notified Health and Human Services that all but one of the vaccines on the childhood vaccination schedule, Gardasil 9, were not tested against a placebo that met the CDC's definition. They weren't tested. How many of these shots are being stuck into our children's arms? And we're being told they're safe, they're effective, they've been tested, and we find out now that they're not. And again, this is where details matter, because often what will happen, and this is what Paul Offit was arguing, is that you'll do a trial where the control group that they call getting a placebo, we find out it's not actually a placebo, it's the vaccine minus the antigen. Now, I guess to a certain extent, that makes sense. If all you're testing for is the antigen, what is the antigen? It's the one variable you're trying to test. But that's not the same as saying it's a placebo group. By definition of a placebo, it has to be medically inert, and that's not the case. Now, why is this lie so important? Because it's these same people that have been either out and out lying or certainly playing games with the facts that told us that the COVID-19 treatment was a vaccine, which is not legally. The CDC literally redefined vaccine in order to call it a vaccine. It's the same one that told us it was both safe and effective, only to find out that, hey, guess what? They never tested it to see if it was effective. And the tests they used to make sure it was safe were, well, from what I understand, pretty laughable, using extremely small data sets and starting out a placebo trial only to end the trial halfway through the test as soon as they saw anything they could consider as being good news for the fake vaccine. Which leads us to the outcome of the vaccine. See, we now found, according to emails that were obtained by the Epoch Times, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, knew early in 2021 that the vaccine did not stop people from getting infected, that vaccinated people were becoming infected, according to these emails, as early, she knew it as early as early 2021. In fact, on January 30th, 2021, Dr. Walensky said that she had spoken with Dr. Francis Collins, and one of the issues we discussed was that of vaccine breakthroughs. A vaccine breakthrough is when someone who's vaccinated against a disease actually gets the disease. So again, we were lied. We're still being told that the vaccine prevents you from getting COVID and therefore prevents you from spreading COVID, and that's a lie. And I have to wonder, as we look at the VAERS database, and I'm looking at it right now, there are over 35,000 reported COVID vaccine deaths. 35,000 people that were possibly killed because of a lie. Because that lie was not only used to allow the vaccine to be put in on the market, it was used to coerce, to establish mandates and rules and regulations and force to get people to take a jab based on a lie. And those of us, the medical community and people in the Patriot community that pointed out the lie, were vilified. We were called names. Everything from "we want to kill grandma" to "vaccine deniers." All of this simply because we looked at the data and said, what it we're being told cannot be true, at least the way we were told it. Maybe we should slow down and reconsider. Maybe these quote-unquote vaccines should be tested, fully tested, with a placebo. I mean, it is, after all, not only a new vaccine, but a new delivery method. We introduced the mRNA vaccine for Pfizer and Moderna. I believe Johnson & Johnson still use the older vaccine technology, delivery technology. Maybe we should actually test this before we start sticking it in the arms of hundreds of millions of people, and in fact, billions of people around the world. Maybe we should have. Then again, maybe Ms. Tremor was correct. A lie printed often enough becomes a quasi-truth. And if this truth is repeated often enough, it becomes an article of belief, a dogma, and men will die for it. And I say, men will kill for it. Now, this is a very important point because my boot camp, which is coming up just in a couple of days, I'm looking forward to it. I got a lot of work to get done, but I'm having a lot of fun. It's exciting. That's the first thing we're going to deal with, is making sure that we are constructing our arguments and that we are evaluating the arguments of others based on truth. And how do we find out what's the truth? How do we build a foundation so that when people challenge our assumptions or people bring us information, we can make sure that it's true and valid and stands, that we can filter out the lie and seek for the truth? That's what we're doing. Now, I'm having this here just July 1st. We're going to open the doors at 10:30. It's in Shelbyville, Tennessee. I know most of you cannot make it there, but that's okay. I'm going to be recording this event so that I can publish it on the website, constitutionstudy.com, and you can watch it. It'll be free on the website, and it will be the first step in my Constitution Study Patriots program. If you want to find out more about the program, go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots. Now, before I take this break, I do want to remind you, you know, I don't know about you, I get to the end of the day sometimes and I get fuzzy head. I have a hard time focusing. That's when I reach for Healthy Cells Focus and Recall. It's designed to boost my short-term focus and my long-term brain power using nothing but Healthy Cells vitamins. Healthy Cell is a leading innovator in vitamins and supplements designed to work at the cellular level, and I love their Focus and Recall. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of Focus and Recall or any product from Healthy Cell if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please go to healthycell.com, put your cart together, try some Focus and Recall or any of their great products, but use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, Spike Support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily Spike Support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans, who rejoined the Constitution. So I'm so glad you could have you join me here. We're talking about lies told often enough that, well, they get treated like the truth. They become dogma. Now, one of the ways of testing a lie is to compare it to, well, proof. You compare a statement to what is observably, objectively true, what you can prove, right? And if the statement doesn't match the proof, then, well, it's a lie. But what happens when you don't have that objective proof? Well, you really got to find something to determine the truth. If two statements are made that cannot both possibly be true, well, then one of them has to be a lie. It's tautological. Two opposing facts cannot be the same at the same time, just like, you know, two bodies of matter cannot exist in the same place at the same time. It's physically impossible. It's logically impossible. And this has brought up a very interesting tete-a-tete, say, between Attorney General Garland and Delaware Prosecutor Weiss. Let me give you, this is actually a quote from Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Fox News.
Today I laid out very, very clearly by July 6th, because of the allegations from the IRS, because of the whistleblowers and the DOJ, our Garland, what he is saying and what David Weiss are saying privately are two different things.
Right.
And if it comes true what the IRS whistleblower is saying, we're going to start impeachment inquiries on the Attorney General.
Well,
because, as a matter of fact, it shows that.
And
so what are these two competing narratives? Well, according to the Attorney General, Mr. Weiss, the Delaware-based prosecutor in the Hunter Biden, we'll call the Hunter Biden IRS slash lying to on a 4473 case, was given full rein. In fact, he said that he was allowed to continue his investigation and to make a decision to prosecute any way in which he wanted to and in any district in which he wanted to. Now, this was reported by the New York Post, but they also that report went on to say that Weiss told at least six witnesses last year that he lacked authority to charge the first son outside Delaware and was denied special counsel status. So, in other words, you have on the one hand, Attorney General saying Weiss can go do whatever he wants. He has full authority to prosecute anywhere he wants, any district he wants. But that prosecutor saying apparently told at least six witnesses that he lacked the authority to charge Hunter Biden outside of Delaware, that he requested special counsel status and was denied. And this is being reported, this being told by IRS Supervisory Special Agent Gary Shapley. He is a whistleblower who's been involved in exposing the corruption of Joe Biden's Department of Justice. So we have a he said type thing going on, right? Except Mr. Shapley named six names, named names of people who were witnesses to Weiss's claim that he couldn't press charges against Hunter Biden in Washington, D.C. without the approval of the U.S. attorney in that jurisdiction. And I believe it's Shapley's attorneys going to say that it's not simply that they're saying that Mr. Garland misspoke. They're claiming that he repeatedly claimed under oath that the Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, a Trump administration holdover recommended in 2017 by the state's Democratic senator, is able to criminally charge Hunter Biden without the permission of other Justice Department leaders. So who are we to believe? Are we supposed to leave Merrick Garland? You know, the one that we've already found has lied to us about, targeting parents for domestic violent extremism, targeting pro-life people, and not investigating attacks on churches and pro-life centers. Are we supposed to believe him? We're supposed to believe Gary Shapley. Well, I have a better idea. How about we start talking to those six witnesses? And if the witnesses corroborate the Mr. Weiss's statement, then maybe we have another example of lies coming out of the Attorney General's office and by extension the Department of Injustice. Because let's face it, calling it Department of Justice at this point is laughable. It's laughably wrong. Now let me play for you some excerpts. See, Mr. Shapley did an interview on CBS News, and from a political standpoint, this is interesting, right? Because most of the mainstream media, you could say, maybe have been running some cover for the Biden administration, but this is again from CBS News, from an interview done, a piece done with Gary Shapley.
Gary Shapley has been at the IRS for 14 years and told us that the way the Hunter Biden investigation was conducted was, in his words, quote, outside the norm.
If this was any other person, they likely would have already served their sentence.
Gary Shapley was a lead IRS supervisory agent in Operation Sportsman, the investigation into Hunter Biden. Shapley said he uncovered conduct that warranted more serious charges.
There were personal expenses that were taken as business expenses, prostitutes, sex club memberships, hotel rooms for purported drug dealers.
How much did Hunter Biden owe in taxes?
So from 2014 to 2019, it was $2.2 million.
So what we're seeing here is Mr. Shapley was actually on the investigation team looking into Hunter Biden, and this is what he said he found. This is not someone saying, I saw it. This is somebody who's actually part of the investigation. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a lot of examples of people who owe a couple million dollars in back taxes being given a what I would call a sweetheart deal. But especially someone who took personal expenses for things such as prostitutes, sex clubs, and hotel rooms for drug dealers, and claim they were business expenses. Listen, I run a small business. I doubt I would get away with anything even close to that. But that wasn't part of the deal. Now let's not forget the lying on a federal form. In this case, the 4473, which is a federal background check for purchasing a firearm.
And last week, the Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney in Delaware, David Weiss, reached an agreement with Hunter Biden. The president's son would admit to a firearm charge and plead guilty for his failure to pay taxes. If a judge signs off, the deal means no jail time.
Now, again, what Hunter Biden was accused of wasn't simply a weapons charge. It was lying on a federal document. And when you fill out those documents, they're very particular. It is I believe it's a felony to lie on a federal document. And to fill out the 40, to lie on that is a federal felony. And it specifically says, are you currently under the, using an illegal controlled substance, which Hunter Biden was. So the question, again, I want to know is, well, how did Hunter Biden get such a deal? I can certainly come up with reasons, but I'd like to see some details about how Hunter Biden got such a deal.
And Shapley told lawmakers that U.S. Attorney Weiss was blocked from bringing stronger charges. But U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland said last week that Weiss was not.
I'd say he was given complete authority to make all decisions on his own.
And in a letter to House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan 3 weeks ago, Weiss himself wrote he had ultimate authority.
I documented exactly what happened, and it doesn't seem to match what the Attorney General or the U.S. Attorney are saying today.
Shapley provided lawmakers this contemporaneous email he wrote after an October meeting last year. Shapley says Weiss told him the opposite, that Weiss is not the deciding person on whether charges are filed.
So, okay, I'm back to the question of who's lying. Is it Attorney General Garland? Is it Prosecutor Weiss when he says that he had full authority? Is it Investigator Shapley when he says, no, Weiss told him, no, he did not have control, which, you know, Shapley says he has witnesses of this fact. You know, I'm beginning to feel like Norman, you know, the android in the original Star Trek episode that has to trigger out human lying.
Everything Harry tells you is a lie. Remember that. Everything Harry tells you is a lie.
Now listen to this carefully, Norman. I am lying.
You say you are lying, but if everything you say is a lie, then you are telling the truth. But you cannot tell the truth because everything you say is a lie. But you lie, you tell the truth, but you cannot, for you lie. Illogical, illogical. Please explain. You are human. Only humans can explain their behavior. Please explain.
I am not programmed to respond in that area.
Now, if you're not familiar with the show, if you haven't seen the episode, all that beeping here, there's smoke coming out of the android's head because he's trying to process something so irrational, so illogical that his android brain can't handle it. I kind of get that feeling a little bit when I've got, you know, some people saying he can, and but he told other people that he can't. You know, was Weiss lying when he told the public that he had full authority, or was he lying when he told Shapley and others that he did not have full authority? And have we just become so inured to this idea of lying that we somehow can hold these two opposite, this cognitive dissonance of two completely opposite truths trying to be held in our brains at the same time? Maybe that's why the American people seem to be going crazy. But there's one other point I want to make, and I do this purposely. I want you to pay attention, because I know a lot of people that are looking at this and laying it squarely at the feet of Joe Biden and his administration. But you got to follow this.
Shapley, who is still working for the IRS, told us that even before President Biden took office, he was directed to avoid leads involving Hunter's father.
There were certain investigative steps that we weren't allowed to take that could have led us to President Biden.
And you wanted to take them?
We needed to take them.
And you weren't allowed to take them?
That's correct.
See, it isn't a question of the Biden administration. There appears to be a pressure, even under the Trump administration, within the Department of Justice, to prevent anything bad happening to a particular political candidate. This is very disturbing to me, and it should be to you, because it tells me this is not simply a political witch hunt. It's not simply the Democrats going after the Republicans or vice versa. This is a situation where even under a nominally Republican administration, the Department of Justice was on the lookout to protect the Democratic candidate. Now, since Trump was in office and it was his attorney general, I believe it was Bill Barr, was the attorney general, did he have rules that would limit or hinder investigations into potential presidential candidates? That may be. And I can almost sort of understand that from the standpoint of, you know, when Trump was a candidate and the investigations had no probable cause but were based on opposition research from his political opponent, I can understand a desire not to get into the middle of yet another presidential election. We had it in 2016. We didn't really want it in 2020. But did that also mean that you could not investigate, and now, you know, you could not investigate possible crimes because the person was politically connected? I don't know about you, but that disturbs me, not simply Democrat versus Republican, but if you had evidence, you had probable cause, and an actual investigation, a legitimate investigation was suppressed, that to me is almost as damning as an investigation based on nothing but political propaganda. And that's why, you know, when people come to me and they present information, they often, you know, facts and data, I'm always going back to that question of where's your proof? I want the evidence, because I'm sorry, I've been lied to too often. I've had too many people, and I don't mean lied as in someone was actively trying to deceive me, someone who had taken a lie and repeated it, and they were simply repeating the lie. You repeat it often enough, it becomes quasi-truth and dogma. And I've seen that. I've seen lies spread around that are now considered dogma. One of which is, hey, the Organic Act of 1872. There are people that are dead set on the idea that that created a separate constitution, a separate corporate entity called the United States, which is somehow different from the United States of America. And they believe this, and they spread that information. And when I ask them for proof, they usually give me nothing. Or they simply say, well, it was the Incorporation Act of 1872. Well, I've looked it up. I've read it. It did no such thing. It created a municipal corporation for the district, for Washington, D.C., nothing more. But it's why I think we need to insist that before we accept any allegations, any charges, that we the people cannot trust that we are not being lied to. We can no longer trust the law enforcement arms of government to actually be doing their job. And we certainly cannot trust the media to properly and accurately represent what the facts and the data. There's just too much evidence that we've been lied to too many times. You know, what's the old saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I say, fool me 10,000 times, you're probably an American voter. Now, I have to take another break, but before I do, I want to remind you that the Constitution Study is just one voice here on AmericaOutloud.com. So please make it a daily stop to find out what's going on. Get the latest news. Get the happenings. Get different points of view from different people. But it's also important that we do our part, that we share this information. So I ask you to take the stories, the podcasts, the articles, the video, share them with friends, with family, online. Help share this information so that we can find out the truth. We can find the proof and the evidence. And by doing so, we can help secure the blessings of liberty.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutloud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. We're talking about the lie told often enough. We believe it's the truth. Now, I've already talked about, we talked about vaccines. We've talked about the Department of Injustice. I want to kind of continue down that vein, but in a different area. So we've been told, I've been told my entire life, they're not coming. We're not coming for your guns. We don't want your guns. We just want reasonable regulations. We want common sense restrictions so that people don't get hurt. That's all we really want. But yet every time they do that, every so often they turn around and, well, kind of show the truth. Let me give you a couple of examples. See, on March 27th of this year, 16 heavily armed ATF agents raided Adventure Outdoors, one of the largest gun dealers in the Southeast. They demanded all the records pertaining to gun purchases. By the way, they brought in agents from around the country in this raid because they extended to other gun stores around Georgia. This is being reported by The New American. Now, I want to stop. For those of you who are not familiar, because I know not everybody is a gun person, what are we talking about? Well, when you purchase a firearm from a federal firearm licensee, an FFL, you go through a background check. The form you fill out for them to do this background check is called a 4473. By law, the federal government is prohibited from creating a gun registry. By law, by U.S. law. In fact, when you fill out that 4473, by law, it is the federal firearm licensee that retains that record. They hold on to the paperwork, not the federal government. In fact, the federal government, when they either used to call it in or now they do it all on computer, those records are supposed to be destroyed after 30 days. So the federal government doesn't have a record of gun purchases. Yet here you have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives coming in and demanding all the records of gun purchases. Now, I'm kind of trying to figure out why, because it seems to me pretty suspicious that the ATF, which is prohibited from as part of the federal government from having a gun registry, is looking for all the records pertaining to gun purchases. I want to see the warrant. I want to know what's in the warrant, because what is the legitimate reason for getting all of the gun records, the purchase records? But you see, this wasn't alone. See, back on June 14th, over 20 agents from both the IRS and ATF raided a gun shop in Great Falls, Montana, Highwood Creek Outfitters. And this is interesting because this was brought to, I did an interview, recorded an interview yesterday, and this was the question that was brought up. They wanted to talk to me about this. The IRS and ATF raided this gun shop. They shut the place down, and for 10 hours, they rummaged through all the store's records. Now, I have to tell you, there's one part of the law I need to tell you about. There is a, when you become a federal firearm licensee, one of the things you are required to hand over is your right to to not be searched by the government. The government says we have the right to search everything simply because you get a license from us. That's their claim. But that claim is based in federal law, and if that law is not pursuant to the Constitution, it's not the supreme law of the land. But here's what's interesting. So from the Montana raid, after 10 hours, the IRS and the ATF removed 20 boxes of 4473s, dating all the way back to the business started more than 13 years ago. They had over 12,000 individual forms, including the buyer's name, their address, their personal identifying information, and a copy of their photo ID. All of this was removed from the premises by ATF with apparently the assistance of the IRS. Now, here's where life gets interesting. See, Montana's attorney general claims that the seizures far exceeded the actual terms of the federal search warrant. Which, of course, I mean, this should be very concerning. Whether you are a gun person or not, you have the government coming in and seizing records well beyond the warrant, which was limited to financial records. The warrant was looking for financial records, but 4473s don't contain financial records. Now, this is, you know, this is where the discussion got interesting last night, because they asked you, what do you do? And my response was, two things you do. First of all, you have to call your lawyer, because you're going to need someone to help defend you, because this may get ugly quick. I said, then you call the sheriff, because if they are, you know, you ask for the warrant, you call your lawyer, you call the sheriff. because you want someone from the sheriff's department to observe any criminal activity. Because if what the attorney general said is true, if the warrant was limited to financial records and the agents of the IRS and ATF actually read, then collected 4473s, were committing a federal crime. Let me explain. See, under the Fourth Amendment, you are protected from unreasonable searches. And warrants have to be specific. They have to be based on probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So if they had a warrant that was for financial records, hopefully they had probable cause if they got a judge to sign off on it. And it has to be specific, financial records. They ignored the warrant. So they were performing an unreasonable search. She said, Paul, how is this a federal crime? Well, under Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 242, it is a crime under color of law to willfully deprive someone of a right protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Now, the willful is the questionable part. This is where I tell people, I have a placard I've put up. It's going to be part of the boot camp. It is this, the informing. It's the willful part. It's why I use this document to help people so that they can say, wait a second, this is an unreasonable search. You are violating the search because you're going beyond the scope of the warrant. That makes it a violation of my rights protected by the Constitution of the United States. I've now informed you that that is a violation of federal law. I have cited the law. In fact, I have quoted the law. That means you can no longer claim it was not willful. You were informed of what you were doing. But since it was not an individual, it was 20 individuals, it's also now conspiracy. Right, that's that's a section 241. So 242, deprivation of law of rights under color of law. 241 is conspiracy to deprive rights under color of law. And the reason there too, and the difference is important. See, under 242, the punishment for conviction under 242 starts at a fine and up to a year in jail. The punishment for 241, conspiracy, starts at a fine and 10 years in jail. And it's also very important because a lot of people think about suing the federal government. This is a criminal act. See, if these people sue the federal government, well, then the American taxpayer, if they win, the American taxpayer pays them money. Now, to a certain extent, that's proper, right? Because these people were working for the American taxpayer. They should have known better. But a criminal charge, it's the individual agents that are charged. The individual agents that are convicted, if they are convicted, and the individual agents that pay the fines and do the time, which is why you want the sheriff's deputy there. I want names, I want IDs, I want photographs, I want to know who's doing this, and I want it documented, and I want the sheriff's deputy here, because if they're committing a crime, well, then the deputy has the legal authority to arrest the ATF and IRS agents. They may say, well, no, we're federal agents. You can't arrest us. Oh, yes, you can. Because the deputy is acting under the authority of the sheriff, who is the chief law enforcement officer of the county and has full authority to arrest federal agents for crimes committed within their jurisdiction. Now, what is this? This should bring us all back to, what is the lie? The lie is that the federal government has no problem with you owning guns, just certain really bad guns, you know, like pistol braces. Those are really bad guns, at least in their mind. But yet here we have the ATF using a financial warrant as a ruse in order to collect personal information about people who have purchased firearms from at least one, if not two, gun stores in violation of federal law. And while I hear the Montana Attorney General saying, well, this is dangerous, we have to do something about this, you know what I haven't heard yet? I haven't heard one person other than me saying, wait a second, where are the criminal charges? I'm not hearing them. Now, the owner of High Creek Outfitters, Tom Van Hoos, He said, I can only assume it's because of the style of weapons that we have for sale and the press that's so against them. The current administration seems to be hell-bent on getting these guns out of the hands of average Americans, even though they're protected by the Constitution of the United States. By the way, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So here we have the Attorney General. This is Representative Matthew Rosendale. He is a U.S. representative for the state of Montana. And he sent a letter to both the IRS and ATF. And he said, it has come to my attention that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and the Internal Revenue Service abruptly entered and closed Highwood Creek Outfitters in Great Falls, Montana. Although the ATF is a useful resource in crime prevention and firearms theft cases, this event is another example of Biden weaponizing the federal agencies to target and harass hardworking Americans for exercising their constitutional rights. All right, let's stop. The ATF is not a useful resource. It's actually an illegal resource because the ATF does not limit itself to interstate commerce of firearms. Therefore, that's not a right delegated to the United States. Therefore, they have no right to exist. And the legislation that created them is null and void. And all the money spent on them is fraudulent and embezzlement. But he goes on to say, well, we need the details. We need to see what's going on. More political pandering. This is what I'm looking at. I've yet to see. Now, granted, maybe he's just saying, I need to give them a chance to answer. Because he did list several questions. He wants to know, what was the purpose of entering and closing Highwood Creek Outfitters? What evidence did the ATF and IRS have prior to arriving at Highwood Creek Outfitters? And how was the evidence collected? Does ATF or IRS have any other plans to conduct similar activities at other firearms-related businesses in Montana? Why did the ATF and IRS believe such a large armed police presence was necessary? Has the Biden administration expressed support for increasing in-person agency activities at firearms-related businesses? How much have the ATF and IRS spent to conduct similar activities at firearm-related businesses? Why did the IRS take Highwood Creek Outfitters 4473s, and what does the IRS intend to do with them? That, ladies and gentlemen, is a very good question. We're finally getting to me with a very important question. And the last question he asked was, do the ATF and IRS believe it was within the legal rights of the IRS to take Highwood Creek Outfitters 4473s? I don't care what they believe. The answer is no. There's no legal. They are prohibited by federal law from doing this. But they did it anyway. Now, this brings us to me, what is the underlying lie that supports everything we've talked about so far today? That is the lie that we are ruled by government. Ladies and gentlemen, we create governments. That's what the Declaration of Independence said, that to protect these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We used to call them public servants for a reason. They were there to serve us, not to rule over us. It is not the ATF and the IRS that decide whether or not they were within their legal rights to do so. It is we the people. It is not the IRS or the ATF that gets to decide what they're allowed to do with certain information. It is we the people. We consent to the powers delegated to governments, the state governments, and yes, the federal government. That's what the 10th Amendment means. That's why it was put there. And as long as the American people continue to act as subjects of government rather than its master, then we will continue to see these types of raids and these types of infringements. As Abraham Lincoln said, we the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole lot of perverting going on. And unless and until we realize we are their masters, they work for us, and we start treating them like the employees that they are, then we have a hard time calling ourselves the land of the free and the home of the brave. Because I'll tell you what, the owner of Highwood Creek Outfitters is not free. And the owner of the Georgia the Adventure Outdoors, the Georgia gun dealer, is not free. If they can be raided with these fake warrants, they're not free. And they are not free because we are not brave. We're not brave enough to stand up and do something about it. We're not brave enough to stand up and learn what our rights are, learn how to defend them, learn how to assert them, and then go to the defense of not only our rights, but the rights of others. That is one of the purposes, one of the tracks in the Constitution Study Patriots, is to have Minutemen, men and women that are ready at a moment's notice to stand up for the rights of others, that have the education, the skills, and the communication to, if they had been there, to help advise the owner, wait a second, you want to see this? You want to see this? Here's a copy of the piece of paper. Here's the law that they're violating. Show them. Defend yourself. That's what we want to do. That's the goal behind the Constitution Study. Not just the Patriots program, but the Constitution Study itself is for we the people to be able to defend and assert our rights, do so legitimately, do so legally. By that, I mean constitutionally, and if necessary, forcefully. That should be a last resort, but if you're not willing to stand up to a bully, you'll continue to be beaten by them. Now, hopefully, you'll come back every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to hear the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Now, if you cannot listen then, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can listen on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave me a rating and review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study, and maybe they'll be a little more willing to try it if you leave me a nice rating and review. You can find all the links you need at the homepage on AmericaOutLoud.com. But as with everything else, I ask you to share that information. Share the stories, share the links, share the videos. By doing so, you are helping to share not just this information, but to share the blessings of liberty.